David, thank you. It's not getting that bad yet, you guys. David just likes to play around. Can we get the slideshow from the beginning, please? I'm very excited about tonight's message. I was excited about all the messages, but all week long we've been laying the groundwork for what exactly is our purpose. Prayer and unity and revival, reformation and perseverance are all things that are very key, that need to happen in our lives in order for us to even understand, excuse me, what our purpose is. Once we gain an understanding of our purpose, we are then ready to fulfill that purpose. Amen. And tonight's message is the first of the last three that will be instructing us, teaching us what it is once we have gained our relationship with God and we're walking with God and we are one with God. Now we are able to be ambassadors of Christ in the world. Outreach. That is what tonight's message is. It is very critical that we do not hoard this wonderful message that God has given us, that we do not keep it to ourselves, that we not keep it in this building, but that we take it to the world in word and, more importantly, in deed. The Bible tells us, this is Matthew, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." When this quote is quoted, this is usually the only portion of the quote that we focus on. Did you guys know that this was not the whole verse? Oh, good. We got some Bible students here. There is a second part of this verse that I think that must be included when this verse is being spoken on. Because this is the key. This is once you're able to make disciples of other people, you cannot make them a disciple based on what you think, based on what you feel is the right thing to do. You make them a disciple in Jesus Christ because you have taken the time, and God has taken the time, thank you, to mold you, to shape you, to be able to put you in a position to be used by him. And the second portion says, teaching them to observe the fun things. No? All things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Before we get, or as we get into this message, there are things that we need to fully understand as we are preparing ourselves to be used by Christ. Okay? In John, this is one of my favorite verses right here. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Now, this is one of my favorite verses because God is all over the place. He is in his word. He is in each other. He is in his build. He is everywhere if you have your eyes open to him. And in order for us to fully understand what outreach is, we need to start at the beginning. We need to start where Jesus was, where he came from. Okay? And if you continue on into verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and" what? Truth. Truth. Amen? This is step one of the outreach process. Before you even leave the building, before you even get a group together, before you even figure out what the outreach is, this knowledge needs to be in our minds. We need to know that in the beginning was Jesus. We have to be, if we are out there trying to instruct people to come to Jesus, we need to know exactly from the beginning how, who, what, where, and why Jesus is even being proclaimed, okay? And the first thing that we have to understand and we have to believe is that, one, he came as man. He came in flesh. He was born here in this world. You have to believe that. You have to know that God, that Jesus walked this earth. There are still individuals on this earth who are waiting for Jesus to come the very first time. And so, in order for us to get individuals to buy in, not to buy in, but to be convicted by the Holy Spirit into what Jesus is trying to do for them, you have to be able, we have to believe, first and foremost, that Jesus was born as a babe in a manger, and we all know the story, that he did come here to earth. The second thing we need to really understand is what Jesus did while he was here, his ministry. Here is a little collage of pictures of different things that Jesus had done in his ministry. He was always healing. He was always looking for the next individual to help. He was always ready and willing to be a helping hand no matter what. The Bible, throughout all his ministry, it always says he had compassion on them. He had just preached the whole day and wanted to sneak off and go try to spend some time alone with God. And wherever he went, there were multitudes of people coming after him. And he always had compassion on them because he knew what he had to give them, what he had to say to them, what they were looking for, only he could give. And so he was not going to turn anyone away. We have to have that same mindset. No matter how tired, no matter what it is that is in our lives, when it comes to spending time with God, we cannot compromise. Now, we do have responsibilities throughout our day. We all have to go to work or school or whatever it is, whatever the case may be. But intentional, devotional time should be being spent on a daily basis. Jesus did it himself. That was what empowered him to be able to be a witness and reflection of God. Amen? We also must understand what he came to do on top of healing everybody. What is this a picture of? What do we do here? Washing the feet, communion. What does this represent? Humility. Service as well, but humility. God, Jesus himself, got on his hands and knees and found some grimy feet and started washing them. There is no more humiliation than that. So God taught us and is teaching us and has always been teaching us from the days of this wonderful book till today. Everything that has been written about is completely applicable today and very relevant today. And then we come to this portion of the story where we have to also, without a shadow of a doubt, believe that he came and he died for us. Amen? You have to have this step-by-step thing needs to be embedded in our hearts and in our minds, because when we're out there going and reaching somebody, you have to have conviction. The best analogy I can come up with is if you are trying to sell a product to somebody and you're going there and you're like, this vacuum, it sucks. It's okay. It sucks pretty much kind of the stuff that you want. Gets in the corners a little bit. And you start trying to sell this vacuum to somebody, is that individual sold on buying that vacuum from you if you're describing it like that? No. You pull that vacuum out and you're like, look, let me show you something. You see, I'm going to crumble some chips right here. I'm going to crumble a cookie right here. And watch this. And you go out and you, without a shadow of a doubt, you present with conviction. The greatest point of outreaching, sharing Christ, thank you, of sharing Christ is conviction. When a person can see, man, that person is completely bought into whatever it is he's trying to give to me, there must be something to it. Okay, so these steps, this picture that I'm trying to send you to is all leading up to now what Jesus really came to do. Matthew 18, 10 to 14 says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Amen? When you're outreaching, that's what you're trying to tell people. You're trying to tell somebody, you know what, there is a decision that needs to be made, and you need to be found. Jesus is looking for you. He doesn't want to have any one person left behind. When you can stand there knowing that you are saved and trying to express to someone else that they need to be saved, it speaks leaps and bounds your conviction. You can stand there without a shadow of a doubt knowing, you know what, God saved me. And that's when people talk about they see Jesus. Jesus should be able to be seen in you, in all that you do. So outreach, in its purest, simplest form, is delivering that message right there. Amen? The apostles knew this. And this is a picture right here of them. I don't want to say it's not like a light bulb, like bing, but it's the Holy Spirit coming upon them. They knew that they lived everything we just seen a kind of a pictogram of Jesus's from beginning to his death and his resurrection, and they were there for it all. Jesus tells them to tarry a little bit before you go out into Jerusalem, because you're going to need some help. And so what my question to you tonight is, are you still tarrying? Are you still sitting there waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon you so that you can now go out and do what God has called you to do? You see, it's funny because when you come to God, he tells you to come and give me all of your burdens. Does he not? But I found something kind of interesting. When I came to God, I gave him some burdens, and he also gave me some burdens back. He did. I have a burden now to save the lost. I have a burden now to not let anybody be without Jesus. I have a burden now to try my best with whatever I am able to deliver a gospel, to deliver a message of truth, of salvation, of mercy, and forgiveness. And the apostles, they knew that. They came across it, and it hit them like a light bulb. They had the same burden that we have today. Now, once you are given your commission, once God has given you a gift, once he's given you a purpose, that's when you do like Matthew 28:19 says, and you go, therefore, and all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's not till you get through all of what we just said, till you're really ready to do what God is calling you to do. And so if we have your Bibles now, we're going to go into our theme book, the book of Acts, and we're going to be in chapter 5. You see, this is another story of the apostles facing more of what the leaders of the time were trying to prevent them from doing. Excuse me. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 is where we'll be, our first verse, our first text. You see, now that they have a burden, now that they have a fire, now that they have a mission and a purpose, they're out there doing it with every fiber of their being. And in chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible tells us, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. You see, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can change a life. You can do things that you never knew were even possible to do, not only that you're doing them, but for an individual who you might have even given up on. I praise the Lord that there's two people here that never gave up on praying for me. And there's another one who I know who's in Albuquerque, New Mexico right now, who's probably praying for me right now. And I praise the Lord for that. Because if it were not for those individuals, I would not be standing here today. And now I'm not saying I can come and my shadow's going to pass by you and I'm going to cure all your ills like Peter and them were able to do. But again, I'm able to deliver with conviction a message of my own experience. And hopefully, it'll be able to reach at least one individual who can say, you know what, that dude went from here to here. And there was only one way to get there. And so those are the types of things, those are miracles as well. A changed life is an absolute miracle. We're all sitting here, we're all miracles. Continuing on, and they were all with one accord, okay, that's key. We learned about this earlier, unity. You have to be in unity. You have to be standing for something with a group of individuals in order to have any kind of impact in whatever it is you're trying to do. In Solomon's porch, in the temple, they spent a lot of time at the temple doing a lot of preaching. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Now we're going to stop right there. Because it says, yet none of the rest dared them. So there's some apostles that are in the temple that are preaching. But there are also some individuals, some followers of Christ, who dared not join them. Do you guys understand why? The position that they were putting themselves in, they had just watched Jesus Christ be crucified for preaching that same exact message. Now, they're all good being on the bench talking about, yeah, good job, go team. But then when it comes down to it, to go out and get put in the game, oh, I pulled a hamstring, coach. I can't go in right now. Can't be that way. There's no such thing as a halfway Christian. You either are or you're not. God cannot do nothing with half of what you're willing to give him. Amen? So, it's all fun and it's all good to sit there and say one thing, but when called upon, where are you at? So we have to be very careful that we can't just be proclaiming something. We have to be walking the talk. Amen? And they esteem them highly. Good job. You guys are doing great. Just don't tell anybody I was over here at your house today, because I don't want to get in no trouble. Continuing on, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Now, this is the first time that it is actually the term added to the Lord is used in Acts. Usually, he added to the who? Church. Now, they're getting so good at what they're doing, they're going straight to the Lord. Amen? Men and women are now being transformed. And then I put this picture back in there for Joel because he liked it last time so much. Exactly. Now they're coming together. There's no barrier. Hey, praise the Lord for that. Good eye. In verses 17 and 18, you start seeing more of the result. A different kind of result that's happening to a different kind of people that while the message is being preached. On one hand, you have these believers, these hearts that are being opened and these minds that are being opened, and that they're receiving with this wonderful message and they're being added unto the Lord. And then you have this other group who's hearing the same message and they're like, man, we got to shut these guys down. They're blowing it for us. And in chapter 5, verse 17, then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Again, the apostles are being thrown in jail. Now they know full well the consequences of the things that they're doing, and they have no qualms about going out there and continuing to do it. And here's why. See that little picture right there? But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. You see, they were just in the temple preaching. They just got thrown in jail. Now, did that bother them? Not at all. They had an angel come and tell them, look, you need to go right back where you were. You need to go right back to that same place. And you need to start speaking that same exact message. Now, the key is the faith that the apostles had in doing this. A lot of times we get in trouble for doing something. What happens? You don't do it no more. Ask my dad. But these individuals did not have any worry. They did not have any fear. The only fear they had is fear of the Lord, amen? And when you have fear of the Lord, you don't have anything else but to fear. What can man do to me? They went back and they talked. They continued to say, Jesus came to live and to die for you, even though half of you were in that square calling for his life and wanting a murderer to be brought in his place. He's still having me come into the same temple, tell you the same message, and you're still not seeing it. In fact, you're not seeing it so badly, you're trying to shut me up. I'm doing what you were supposed to be doing. The apostles were doing what the church was supposed to be doing to begin with. Amen? Now you see this little picture right here is outreach. You have one side trying to build a bridge to get to the other side of where individuals are so that they can bring them over to where we are with one with Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that now then we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see, whenever you go and you knock on someone's door, that's what we're asking that's what they're asking if that's what you want. Do you want to be reconciled? And you form it in any way, shape, or form. Here's a flyer for a week of prayer that we're having at the church. You're more than welcome to come. Come be reconciled with God. Here's a little survey here. I just want to know if you have a Bible. Do you read your Bible? If you don't, would you like someone to come by here and teach you how to read your Bible so that you can be reconciled back to God? And what they're turning down is not you, but it's the opportunity to reconcile with God. So see, the discouragement that we sometimes feel is not our burden to bear. We did our part. We went out and we knocked on that door, as uncomfortable as it was, and we went and said, do you want to reconcile with God, yes or no? And sometimes for every 1,004 doors you walk on, you get one. But that one, like the Bible says, all of heaven rejoices over that one. Would you not go and try and get that one? You see, there's 90, there's a group of us who are all good. That's not to say that God does not care for everybody. But when you're over here already in the fold, God can say, you know what, you're good. I'm going to leave you right here. I'm going to go and snatch one of those ones that are just lost. And I don't know if you guys caught the kind of picture. I wish I would have put it in here again. But if you've seen how the picture was of Jesus, he was hanging off the side of a cliff with one hand and reaching down in the other hand. He put himself in harm's way to go and get one of us. He put his life on the line and gave his life to save one of us. How powerful is that? When you know that in your heart and you're able to go out to someone and say, man, I wish you only knew. I have a coworker that asks me every day, what did Jesus do for you? What did God do for you? I tell him every day, the first and foremost thing he did, died for me. You sound just like my grandma. I'm like, good. Well, your grandma's a good Christian woman. Because she's always telling me, well, God gave you the job. God gave you the legs you used to walk to work. And all these little things. He's like, well, I haven't seen God do nothing for me. And I pray for this individual because he's lost. He's lost. And so we must be building bridges in our words, in our actions, to always be a gateway to heaven. You know this. You guys know the story of Nehemiah? Nehemiah was going to the wall of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt. And it was taking forever for them to do it, right? Jeremiah prays and asks for a way to get there. And from the moment he got there to the moment the wall was built, how long was that time? Nobody? 56 days. he built what they could not do over who knows how long, from the moment he landed to the moment it was done, 56 days. Imagine the amount of power God can give you in a short amount of time to build that bridge. And what that's a symbol of is getting away to where Jesus will be. Jerusalem was his chosen, was his land. Heaven is his land. How long have we been waiting for Jesus to come? I've been waiting 26 years. But we've all been waiting for a while now, right? While we're waiting, are we still in that tarry position? Are we still tarrying around waiting for the Holy Spirit to come? If we are, then we need to get back on our knees and we need to say, God, do something. We have to be the feet of the gospel, plain and simple. We are one body in Christ. We have one goal, one mission, and that's to turn the world to Jesus. We got to take this gospel to the world, and only then will we be able to hear those wonderful, wonderful words. I cannot wait till my number is called and I get to stand right there and God's going to tell me, well done, good and faithful servant. I have a mansion for you. It's better than the housewives on Beverly Hills. I cannot wait to hear that. And the only way I get there is by, in my Bible, is by praying to my God, by uniting myself with my God, by reviving my relationship with him, by not being afraid to reform my life. Amen? And to persevere through whatever it is the devil will throw at me, because he will use my mom, my dad, my fiance, my son. He will use anything and everything he can. And the closer you are with him, the closer the individuals he uses in your life to get to you. I have learned that the hard way. If someone that I don't know does something to me, it's easy for me to kind of, whatever. If someone in my own fold does something, it hurts. That I don't. It's way different. What if you showed up to church one day and you seen that on the door? The church has left the building, gone outreaching. The spirit of prophecy tells us that church should not always be hemmed up in a building. Church should be out there helping someone, doing something. We have a wonderful bunch of ministries that go on in this church. Every so often, we should try and consider going outreaching for church. Give a blessing. We sit here and get blessed every single Sabbath with praise songs, with Sabbath school, with a wonderful message. And we soak it all in, and then we go ahead. Oh, I'm going to go home. I got such a long drive. I got to go all the way to Santa Cruz. Just kidding. But really, we should really be focusing on the story of Jesus Christ, on what he came to do, why he came to do it, how he did it, so that when we go out and reach someone, we can tell them, he did this for me. Look what he did for me. My wife could not get me to stop drinking. My husband could not get me to stop smoking. God, I gave my life to him, and he did it for me. He will do it for you. Whatever your struggle is, he will do it for you. That's what the outreach portion needs to be. We need to have that conviction, knowing full well that Jesus came and did all those things for us and wants us to go out and explain to individuals that he did that for us by using our sermon, our story, our testimony. Amen? Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because we know that you have came, you have took on flesh, you have set an example of what it's like to live a life of sin-free existence. And how you did that was you were connected, you were united, one with God. And then with your conviction and with your unity with God, He gave you a mission and a purpose. And we praise You because You did not back down from that. You took your mission and your purpose all the way to the cross, all the way into the grave. And then we praise God because the third day, like He said, you were up and ready to continue your mission. But you weren't ready to do it alone. You didn't want to do it alone. You found a group of individuals who believed, who saw, who were willing to be able to spread the good news of a risen Savior and His gift of salvation. We ask this day that if our prayer life needs to step up, step our prayer life up. If we need to unite with You more, remove whatever it is that's hindering us so that we can become one with You. If there is something in our lives that needs to be changed, we give You permission to change it so that we can revive our relationship with You. Any trials that we're going through, we pray that we do not get stuck wondering where You are, but yet keep walking till we find You and we can praise You for getting us through that. Then we pray that You will put us in a position to be an ambassador for You, to be able to reach at least one individual with the good news of the wonderful story that You have given us to share, and that they can too tell their story to someone else, and so on, until the gospel has hit every corner of this earth. We look so forward. We want to be singing that song, "Lo, he comes all glorious. Jesus comes to reign victorious. Lo, he comes, yes, Jesus comes." And so we ask, Lord, for You to come quickly. Prepare us for that soon return. Do not leave us where we are, but take us out of our darkness and put us into Your marvelous light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.